You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and today we're exploring some of the divisive issues that have come up during this election season. And here comes another big one. Abortion, the right to choose, the right to life. It's an issue that focuses voters' decisions in a big way. But let's take a step back in time to see where this argument started. This October marked the 100th anniversary of the opening of the first birth control clinic in America. It was the beginning of Planned Parenthood. And back then, the big fight was over access to birth control and not abortion. Ponsi Rutsch, reporter and host of the podcast Babes of Science, visited the site to see what happened to it.
Brownsville is hot when I step off the subway on a Sunday afternoon in late summer. The neighborhood has the unfortunate distinction of being called the murder capital of New York City. But that day, the sidewalks are filled with families walking home from church. Once I turn off the main road, though, it is eerily deserted. 46 Amboy Street is a two-story brick building, which would be nondescript, except the windows are filled with bricks and cement.
I mean, I guess I expected there to be, like, something functional at least. It's a out-of-service building.
Nothing I see indicates the significance of the site. It's the birthplace of a national conversation about women's rights over their bodies. No plaque, no sign, no life. But in a 1916 photo, 46 Amboy Street looks anything but lifeless. It's a different building, taller with white walls and an elegant black door. The shades are drawn, but there are women lined up on a bench outside, watching over baby carriages and waiting to see Margaret Sanger, the petite, auburn-haired, 37-year-old mother who founded the nation's first birth control clinic. Inside the clinic, Sanger would talk about contraception, from the cheap and less effective rhythm method to more effective barrier methods, using a predecessor to the diaphragm, which was pretty expensive. Sanger wanted women of all income levels to have access to some form of birth control. But even if you could afford it, using contraception was a moral dilemma.
You know, there's a tension between sex and reproduction that was still going on in this period, that you have sex to reproduce. You have a duty to God, if you will.
This is Esther Katz. She's collected every news article and journal entry she can find from Margaret Sanger, like Sanger's family limitation pamphlet, which she passed out at that first clinic and was considered obscene by 1916 standards, therefore illegal. But illegal or not, Sanger knew that women wanted birth control. Before the clinic, she'd worked as a visiting nurse, mostly delivering babies.
I saw women who asked to have some means whereby they wouldn't have to have another pregnancy too early after the last child, the last abortion, which many of them had.
In the early 1900s, abortion was actually less taboo than it is in many places today. That's not to say that having an abortion was easy, emotionally or logistically. It's just that women didn't have a lot of options. Sanger wanted to give women more options, and she'd seen a system that worked. In Europe, women could go to a clinic and ask for birth control, and it was just given to them. That's when Sanger decided to open the clinic in Brownsville. She recruited her sister, hired a translator, and they posted a flyer in English, Italian, and Yiddish to advertise.
Mothers, you don't have to continue to suffer. Come to this clinic.
That's Esther Katz again. From the moment the clinic opened on October 16th, 1916, there was a line out the door. About a week later, a mysterious woman appeared.
And immediately, both Sanger and her sister understood it was a policewoman posing as a potential patient.
On the clinic's 10th day, the police showed up and arrested the clinic employees for obscenity. Sanger refused to get into the police car and instead marched herself down to jail. She knew how to create a scene. She also invited the women who visited the clinic to her trial.
So you had a courtroom full of young mothers with babies crying, and they were testifying. You know, the testimony didn't help her case because they said, yes, she helped me out. I don't know what I would have done without her, which doesn't exactly go to I'm not guilty.
Sanger was convicted and spent a month in prison. But when she appealed the conviction, Judge Frederick Crane broke with tradition. Judge Crane reasoned that doctors are supposed to prevent disease. So if contraception prevents sexually transmitted disease or a dangerous pregnancy, then contraception might be a doctor's best recommendation to keep people healthy. In no way was Judge Crane endorsing birth control. And Margaret Sanger was still guilty. But this was the opportunity that Sanger was looking for. She teamed up with a physician, and in 1923, they opened a new clinic and began legally distributing birth control.
Respectable women, upper-class women, women of status, of wealth, now willing to talk about birth control in a way it had never been discussed before.
Birth control became this big public debate, and not least of all because it was tied up with the idea of who should be reproducing and who shouldn't, controlling people's births, also known as the eugenics movement.
It was absolutely common from right to left. The Socialist Party believed in eugenics. The most conservative parties believed in eugenics. Everyone did.
That's Linda Gordon, author of The Moral Property of Women, A History of Birth Control Politics in America, where Gordon showed that Sanger made alliances with eugenists. Sanger had one goal, and she would associate with anyone or anything to get it. As Esther Katz said, Sanger worked with blinders.
Birth control. Women need birth control. They're never going to be equal unless they have birth control, and that's all she saw.
Nothing can excuse Sanger from working with eugenists. That will probably haunt her legacy forever. Even when people denounced eugenics, as they did once the Nazis adopted eugenics-based policies, they were still talking about birth control. It still helped Sanger.
Because once you begin to debate it, whether it's morally or in terms of First Amendment rights or eugenics or any of those things, you've kind of won a major victory.
Sanger would go on to found the American Birth Control League, and she opened more birth control clinics. Eventually, the league and the clinics teamed up to form Planned Parenthood, which works with about 650 branches in the U.S. today, including the one in Lower Manhattan, named the Margaret Sanger Health Center. For The Pulse, I'm Ponsi Rutsch.